We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Today we continue the discussion of the subject, the second coming of Christ, and we are concerned about the reign of Christ and the millennium. The Word of God teaches clearly and most emphatically that the only time that Jews or Gentiles will reign with Christ is now, while Christ is the King of His kingdom. Furthermore, only those who obey the gospel of our Lord now may receive the benefits of His kingdom, as you read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. There will be no future reign of Christ on earth for Jews or Gentiles. When our Lord returns, this earth will not be a very comfortable place to stay. The Bible states that the earth will melt with fervent heat, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Neither Jerusalem, Washington, or any other place on this earth will be livable when the Lord returns. This old world will be destroyed. God has not promised any special favor or blessings to the Jews as a nation during this last dispensation of time. Both Jew and Gentile are one in Christ, and the hope of the Christian is the only hope for the Jews or Gentiles. The idea that Christ is coming back to the land of Palestine and reign on earth in the city of Jerusalem with the Jews for a period of 1,000 years, my friends, is false. There's not one word in all the Bible that even intimates a national conversion of the Jews and restoration to Jerusalem. In fact, the Bible teaches, beyond any shadow of doubt, that Israel as a nation has been forever and eternally rejected, notwithstanding all the fantastic claims by these modern would-be prophets of our times. Millennialists and premillennialists tell us that the Lord came to the earth the first time to establish His kingdom, but because the Jews rejected Christ, He postponed the establishment of the kingdom and established the church as a substitute. Can one imagine that any man or group of men, mortals of this earth, defeating the purpose of Almighty God to the extent that God had to change His mind and change His plans? It is not so, my friends. No man has ever or shall ever defeat the divine purpose of God. The church of our Lord was not an accident, but was established according to the eternal purpose of God. You will read that in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Furthermore, the church is the kingdom of Christ, and there is no remote possibility of a future kingdom on this earth. The church, or the kingdom, was established on the first Pentecost, following the resurrection of Christ, the record of which is found in Acts chapter 2. Since that wonderful day, Christ has been reigning on the throne of David as the King of His kingdom and the head of His church. Now you will read that in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15, Ephesians 1:22 and Colossians 1:13, Revelation 1:5 and 6, and Acts chapter 2 verses 29 through 47. These references are all in the printed copy of this address which you may have. Now, what about the salvation of the Jews? The principles and conditions governing the salvation of the Jews are very specific and understandable. The conversion of Israel is subject to the Great Commission of our Lord, recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Great Commission, which our Lord gave, is for all nations. This is what He said. Are you listening? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. As recorded by Mark, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Ladies and gentlemen, that's both Jews and Gentiles. Furthermore, Luke 24, 46, 47, it is said, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Jesus said that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The gospel was preached to the Jews first, beginning at Jerusalem. And about 3,000 of them obeyed the gospel on that day, the day of Pentecost, by repenting and being baptized for the remission of their sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. "They that were saved, and the Lord added them to the church, were members of His church, citizens of His kingdom." Acts 2, verses 36 through 47, Colossians 1:13. That is the hope of salvation for the Jews. It is the only hope, whether Jew or Gentile. Jesus has declared the gospel plan of salvation is for all nations, the Jews not excepted. In Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 37, the Great Commission imposing the conditions of salvation were definitely applicable to the Jews. The Apostle Peter makes plain, positive statements to that effect. He declared that God is no respecter of persons, and that all in every nation are acceptable subjects of the gospel. In chapter 11 of Acts, he took time and effort to convince his Jewish brethren that God makes no difference in nations with matter of salvation. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 9, it is clearly and positively affirmed that there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile in God's sight, and the same terms of salvation are offered to both Jew and Gentile alike, now, in the future, and for all time. The Great Commission of our Lord ends with this age. If the Jews do not accept the gospel of Christ in this dispensation, there are no provisions for them or anyone else in another age. This is the last. Read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 25. And according to Acts 13, verses 16 through 46, if the Jews reject the gospel of Christ, they will be lost, the Bible says. The mistaken are mistaken about their contention that all Israel will be saved. Perhaps someone is thinking that Paul, in the 11th chapter of Romans, declared that all Israel be saved someday when the Lord returns. Paul does not even remotely suggest the idea of the salvation of the Jews at the Lord's return. This is what the Bible says in Romans 11:26, "And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and he shall take away the ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." End of quotation. The expression, "and so all Israel shall be saved," seems to give some people considerable trouble. But there's nothing difficult about the passage. The word "so" in this verse is an adverb of manner, not an adverb of time. "So all Israel shall be saved." "So in this manner all Israel shall be saved, like the remnant shall be saved." In other words, all Jews, whether they're saved like those of the remnant of Acts in the beginning, or whether they're saved from day to day, week to week, until the Lord comes again, all will be saved alike. There is no such thing as a national restoration of the Jews. All will be saved, Jew and Gentile alike. The Jews who were saved on the day of Pentecost, and the Jews who are saved today, and the Jews who will be saved tomorrow are saved exactly like the Gentiles are saved. There is no difference. The Jews who are to be saved today are to be saved like those of New Testament times. And all Jews and Gentiles will be saved alike in the same manner, the Apostle said. So Paul declared, all Israel shall be saved, and in no other way. It is the same salvation to all, on the same terms and the same conditions. So all Israel shall be saved, as the remnant shall be saved. Not only is it falsely taught that the Jews will be restored to Palestine and be saved, but it is also propagated that the Lord will come back to earth and reign on earth for a period of 1,000 years. We are told that Christ will be the literal king on a literal throne and reign a literal period of 1,000 years. We are told that he will have governors and princesses under him, reigning in other parts of the world. The word premillennial, which is a very dear word to many people in the world, is not even in the Bible. You know that? The prefix pre, of course, means before. The word millennial means 1,000. But I assure you, the Bible teaches nothing about either premillennial or postmillennial. The false doctrine of premillennialism contends that Christ will return to the earth at the beginning of the 1,000-year period of Revelation 20. It is falsely taught that Christ's reign is to begin on David's throne at that time, and the saints will be bodily resurrected from the dead and they will live and reign with Christ on earth a literal 1,000 years. Read carefully Revelation chapter 20 and the first 6 verses in particular. There is no thought in this passage or any other passage of the Scripture that even remotely suggests one single part of the doctrine of premillennialism. Now, I know this carefully, and I say, are you listening? 1. Revelation 20 does not even mention the second coming of Christ, so peculiar to the millennial theory. 2. This passage does not even mention a reign on earth. 3. There is no mention of a literal throne of David. 4. There is nothing said about Christ on earth. 5. There is no mention of a bodily resurrection. 6. There is no reference to us, Jews or Gentiles, reigning with Christ on earth. Is it not peculiar that these experts on prophecy are so literal in their interpretations of some things and so far removed from literal application and interpretation of other related matters? To illustrate, one of these would-be prophets would accept Revelation 20, another will not. For example, was this a literal key, a literal chain, a literal dragon, a literal bottomless pit, a literal seal? Oh no, one would say, those are not literal. Then why say the 1,000 years is literal? If one is literal, the other is literal. I'm sure that you can see the absurdity of such a false theory. If the chain, the key, the dragon, and the seal are figurative, then they are all figurative. If one is literal, they're all literal. There is no statement in Revelation 20 that even hints that Christ will reign on David's throne or on any throne on this earth. Revelation 20 has nothing to say about a bodily resurrection of the saints and a reign of 1,000 years with Christ on earth. Such theories are from men and not from God. In Revelation 22, verses 18 through 20, it is revealed the serious consequences of adding to the Word of God. You remember these words, don't forget them. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophets of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophets of this book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. The book of Revelation is a book of symbols and signs. Figurative language is used in presenting the great apostasy, the dark ages, the triumph of the everlasting gospel of Christ, bringing salvation to all men who believe and obey the gospel. This gospel shall be preached until he comes again. He will not come to establish a kingdom, but to deliver the kingdom already established back to God the Father. And you will read that very clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24. Then will be the end. And I may ask, where will you spend your eternity when the Lord comes again? Death, the resurrection, the judgment, eternal life, and eternal condemnation are as certain as life itself. The second coming of Christ and the judgment are as certain as death. Today we live. Today or tomorrow we may die. Then cometh the resurrection, the judgment, and eternal life in heaven for the saved, and eternal damnation for the unsaved. In Hebrews 9:27, the apostle declared, and inasmuch as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this cometh the judgment. The unwelcome minister of death is filling the appointment every minute of the hour. None will escape. Constantly we are bidding our loved ones farewell, never again to behold their faces upon this earth. The question is, what after death? The resurrection is as sure as is the inspiration of the Bible, and it is certain. Jesus declared the hour will come when all that are in their graves will hear his voice and come forth. John 5:25-29. To establish full assurance of the resurrection, Our Lord died for our sins and arose from the dead himself. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, affirms conclusively the resurrection recorded in 1 Corinthians 15:12 to 21. From these scriptures, it is concluded that the resurrection will occur when Jesus comes again. If there is no resurrection, there is no Christ. He will not come again, and our preaching and our faith are in vain. But Jesus is the Christ, and he arose from the dead. He is the first fruit of them that are asleep. The resurrection will be as surely as is Christ, the Son of God. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, the inspired apostle stated, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished." He also declared, "But the heavens that are now on the earth by the same word have been stored up for fire, being reserved against the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men." On the other hand, everlasting life awaits the redeemed of Jehovah, as promised by our Lord in Matthew 25:46. With this great and precious promise, the saints of God look for the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, the apostle declared in 2 Peter 3:13. Christ himself declared, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Thank God. Are you ready for the Lord's coming again?